Okay, imagine this. You decide to finally renovate your bathroom. New tiles, new fixtures, the whole nine yards.
Sounds nice.
Right. But let's say the contractor you hired decides to subcontract the work out without telling you, and then something goes wrong.
Oh boy.
Yeah, like a shower door imploding.
Oh.
Would the original contractor still be responsible?
Well, that's the question at the heart of the Back versus Magi Tech case.
That's right. And this case is really interesting because it shows just how complex things can get with something that seems so simple, like a contractor dispute.
Yeah, it all comes down to the difference between tort claims, like negligence,
Oh,
and
neat.
breach of contract claims.
Right. So in this case, we have Shanna Bake, who hired Magitouch to do her bathroom renovation. And, well, everything seemed to be going fine until.
Until that shower door.
Exactly. Until that shower door decided to just implode.
And that's where things get interesting.
Right.
So, Bake initially sued MagiTouch for negligence, arguing that they were responsible for the subcontractor's bad work. But the court pointed out that installing a shower door isn't usually considered inherently dangerous.
Okay, so if it's not seen as inherently dangerous, does that mean that the original contractor is off the hook just because they subcontracted the work out?
Well, that's where the contract claim comes in.
Okay.
MagiTouch signed a contract with Bake promising a renovated bathroom.
Right.
They can't just pass on that responsibility to someone else and pretend like it's not their problem anymore.
I see.
It's kind of like if you order a gourmet meal at a restaurant, right? They can't just blame the substitute chef if the meal is bad because they're the ones who made the promise to you, the customer.
That makes sense. So even if the subcontractor is the one who messed up, Magitech is ultimately responsible because they're the ones who made the initial promise to Bake.
Exactly. And there's another important legal principle here, the implied warranty of fitness for a particular purpose.
Okay.
So even if it wasn't explicitly written in the contract, MagiTouch was promising Bake a bathroom that functions correctly. And a shower door, you would agree, is a pretty important part of a functional bathroom.
Absolutely. So when that shower door imploded, it was a breach of that implied warranty, no matter who actually installed it.
Right, on the money. And this is where something called the economic loss doctrine comes into play.
The economic loss doctrine.
Yeah, so Bake's damages, the cost of repainting were solely financial.
Okay.
And this doctrine basically restricts your ability to sue for torts when your losses are just financial,
Oh, interesting.
leading you instead to a breach of contract claim.
Okay.
The court really emphasized that her damages were a direct result of the broken contract, not a separate tort.
Right.
They even cited Section 318 of the Restatement of Contracts, which backs up this principle, delegating a task doesn't get you out of the responsibility to fulfill the contract.
That's a really important point for everyone listening.
It is.
So, to be clear, if a contractor messes up and it costs you money, but you weren't physically hurt, then you're probably dealing with a breach of contract claim. And that's where the economic loss doctrine comes in.
Exactly. It limits your ability to sue for a tort when your losses are just financial.
Interesting. And have there been other cases similar to this?
Definitely, we see a similar precedent in North Dakota's K&K Glass Incorporated versus Kellogg case.
Oh,
The
okay.
contractor in that case was held responsible for faulty windows that were installed by guess who?
A subcontractor.
A subcontractor, exactly.
Wow. So there is a clear pattern of holding contractors accountable even when they try to blame subcontractors.
Absolutely.
But before we dive into how the court handled Bake's case, let's pause here for a moment.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's really fascinating how these cases highlight the finer points of contractor liability, and how important it is to choose the right legal strategy.
That's a great point. So if someone finds themselves in a situation like this, how can they figure out the best way to go about it legally? I mean, is there a clear way to determine if it's a contract issue or a tort issue?
Well, there's no one-size-fits-all answer, but there are some key questions to ask yourself. Like, first, what exactly are your damages? Are they purely financial, like in Back's case, or do they involve physical injuries or property damage, beyond what was covered in the contract?
So the type of damages you have is a major factor in deciding between a contract claim and a tort claim.
Exactly. If your damages are mainly economic, meaning they stem from not getting what you bargained for, then a breach of contract claim is probably your best bet. But if there's personal injury or a lot of property damage that goes beyond what the contract covers, a negligence claim might be stronger.
So it's not always a clear-cut decision then. but understanding the difference between these claims is really important.
Absolutely. It's always a good idea to talk to a lawyer who specializes in construction law. They can look at your specific situation and help you figure out the most effective legal strategy.
That's good advice. Now, going back to the Bake case, I'm curious about that initial setback she had with the court. You know, they denied her request to amend her complaint to a breach of contract claim, saying it was pointless. But then the North Dakota Supreme Court overturned that decision. What does this all mean? Does this mean courts are generally pretty lenient when it comes to amendments?
Generally speaking, yes. Courts get that lawsuits are dynamic and people might need to adjust their claims as new information comes up. Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 15 actually encourages courts to freely give leave to amend pleadings when justice so requires.
So you're not stuck with your initial complaint forever. There's room to be flexible.
Exactly. However, there are some limits. Courts can deny amendments if they're filed too late, if they would unfairly hurt the other party, or if they're just pointless, meaning they have no chance of winning.
So in Bake's case, the higher court saw that her breach of contract claim could be valid and allowed her to go ahead with it.
Exactly. And this highlights another important takeaway. Don't be afraid to push back if a lower court denies your motion to amend. If you have a legitimate claim, it might be worth appealing.
So being persistent can pay off in the legal world. Knowing the rules and standing up for yourself can really make a difference.
Absolutely. This case is a great example of how what seems like a straightforward contractor dispute can turn into a complicated legal battle.
It definitely keeps things interesting. Speaking of interesting, I hear there's a detail we haven't talked about yet, the deceit claim.
Yes. While the court dismissed Bick's tort claims, they did say something interesting about deceit claims that involve a breach of contract.
Now, I'm really curious, what's the story with deceit?
Well, usually you can't sue for both breach of contract and deceit based on the same set of facts. The idea is that the contract is supposed to protect your interests and you shouldn't try to turn it into a tort claim.
So you have to pick your legal battle carefully.
Exactly. But the court did point out some exceptions, like if the deceit claim is based on something separate and distinct from the breach of contract, then it might be allowed.
So theoretically, Bake could have gone after a deceit claim along with her breach of contract claim if she had argued that Magi Touch deliberately misled her about something specific.
That's the gist of it. Whether that kind of claim would have actually won is a whole other question. But it shows how nuanced these legal disputes can be.
It seems like there's always something more to uncover. But for our listeners who might not be familiar with all this legal jargon like deceit claims and legal nuances, can we break this down into some practical takeaways?
The main takeaway is that while contract law and tort law are separate, they can overlap in unexpected ways. Understanding these nuances is really important for protecting your rights and navigating contractor disputes.
So if you find yourself in a situation like Bake's, don't assume it's a simple case. There might be more to it than you think, and an experienced attorney can help you navigate those complexities.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. The more you understand your legal rights and options, the better equipped you are to handle any situation.
That's such a crucial point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Doing your homework up front can save you a lot of headaches later on.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true. And speaking of prevention, I think it's worth going back to something important in the Bagey case. You know, the court's emphasis on her damages being just financial. If she had been injured by that exploding shower door, things could have been very different.
Absolutely. If there had been actual physical harm, she might have had a stronger case for negligence against Magi Touch, even with the whole subcontractor thing.
So it's not only about who did the work, but also about what kind of harm was caused. That's a really important distinction for our listeners to understand.
Absolutely. It all comes back to using the right legal tool for the situation, which is why it's so important to talk to a lawyer who understands these things.
Right. Well, I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today. We've gone over everything from implied warranties and the delegation of duties to deceit claims and the economic loss doctrine.
It's been a fascinating look into the world of contractor liability. I hope our listeners have a better grasp on their rights now and know how to protect themselves when hiring contractors for any project.
So to sum up, what are the three key takeaways our listeners should remember from this episode?
First, understand the difference between contract claims and tort claims. Second, remember that just because work was subcontracted doesn't mean the original contractor is off the hook for their contractual obligations. And finally, don't be afraid to amend your complaint if new information comes up or if you need to adjust your legal strategy.
Excellent advice. And as always, we encourage our listeners to do their own research and talk to a legal professional to get advice specific to their situation.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one last thought. Remember that restaurant analogy we talked about? You wouldn't accept a burnt steak and let the restaurant blame the sous chef, right? In the same way, you shouldn't accept shoddy work from a contractor just because they subcontracted the job.
It all boils down to accountability and making sure you get what you're paid for. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the Bok versus Magi Touch case. Join us next time for another exciting legal exploration.